Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Shore. I almost jumped in too fast.
You're quick on the gun there.
I was kind of scanning my Bible at the same time, kind of listening to you.
Yeah, I hear you. This is good. So we're both anxious to get on the air here this evening. Welcome to Bible Answers. I even forgot where we were for a moment. And it's 7 p.m. Sunday night. It's October 29th. And we're just so happy to be here, and it's always good to open a Word of God and
Amen.
Just see what He has to say to us through the pages, through the written Word. And, you know, before we get started, I just want to, first of all, let you know that we're here on New Visions Radio every Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA. And tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, if you would, Ed.
Yeah, Prophecies of Hope. We started pretty much in 2012. We're a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia. We have a little church. We have meetings on Wednesday evenings for Bible study at 7 p.m., which is available via Zoom if you're interested. Mm-hmm. And we have a live stream on the Sabbath or Saturday when our church service is. We have a Bible study at 9:30 in the morning, and that is streamed live, as also available via Zoom. And we have our worship service streamed live at 11 a.m. that same Sabbath morning.
Very good. And the website is prophecyhope.com. That's where we find the links, right? You might have said that. And also, you know, it's funny because sometimes Ed and I have little things that we're doing. I'm monitoring things on the computer to make sure our mics sound okay.
And we don't always listen to each other.
That's true. That's true. So, especially right here in this little segment, this little area here. But, you know, also we want to let you know that you can contact us if you like. You can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
Or ed@prophecyhope.com.
And if you'd like to send a general email, you can send that to office@prophecyhope.com. And I want to tell you, if you're trying to contact me, office@prophecyhope.com seems to work pretty well because I've had some issues. I'm working with one of our Christian brothers right now. It's going to try to get us squared away and maybe even revamp the website.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So it's exciting. You know, we're living in exciting times, so we have to rely on the Word of God.
Yes.
And this is why we do this radio program and we do the ministry that we do.
You know, Mark, we're having a little conversation before we came on the air here. And there's so many people that refer to sources other than God's Word for their belief.
Absolutely.
And when you ask them, can you share with me in the Bible where you find that? They never respond.
Yeah.
They can't because they don't know what God's Word says.
You know, Ed, from growing up as I did in a Christian church, I tended to do just that. I would teach what the church position was rather than know and understand what I believe. And it's really important that we know and understand what we believe from the Bible, not from what our church says or our pastor or minister.
To make it our belief, not my church's belief or my pastor's belief.
Amen. And so, you know, so we've been doing this program now for quite a few years. And, you know, I want to thank Ray Powers for keeping us on the air.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ray is, he does a lot for New Visions Radio and keeping this ministry on the air here every week.
He fills in us when we're not available. You don't hear him say, those guys are slacking again. I've got to do this for them. He just does it.
He just does it. And I really appreciate that. We all do. But, you know, we're going to dig into the Bible here, and we're going to pick up where we left off a week ago.
Yeah.
And before we get started, Ed, would you have a prayer for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, again, we're thankful to be here. Thankful for this gift of your word, the Bible, where we can find out about the gift you've given us, the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. Mm. Not only know about it, but how it can affect our lives, how it can improve our lives, and that we can share it with others. Father, as we study the word today, give us wisdom and understanding. Guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So last week, you know, every week after week, year after year, we've ended this program with a particular little phrase.
Kind of a sign-off.
Yeah, like a sign-off. That's exactly right. Yeah. And it's interesting because I've gotten a lot of feedback on that. People will hear it and they'll say, I love that. I love the way you guys sign off every week. Mm-hmm. And what is the phrase?
The phrase is, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.
Okay. And you know, so what we're doing is we're bringing a present-day thing that we're talking on the air, over the air, mm-hmm. over the radio waves, right, or over the internet, however right. it is. And at the resurrection, we're told that when Jesus comes, we're going to meet in the air.
Yes.
So let's go to that text.
All right.
Because we closed with that text last week. And this is why we say this week after week. Last week, we were talking about this time of year, which, you know, we know there's a worldly holiday coming up.
Yes.
And it's called Halloween.
Right.
And a lot of emphasis is put on this. And, you know, my wife and I, just last week, we were in a store during the week, and it's just, some of the things are atrocious mm-hmm. that these stores are putting up and getting the attention of not just children, but adults. Adults are just as into it as the kids
right.
are. And so this leads to spiritism.
Yes.
And last week you defined that. You actually had a definition that you had looked up online, and I just put Ed on the spot. His eyes got really, I wish you could have seen his face.
I don't remember where it is in my notes.
I think you got it from Wikipedia,
okay.
if I remember right. And,
all right.
And not that Wikipedia is an authority on anything, but the definition was actually very, very telling. It was very close to what it seems to be, what spiritualism or spiritism is.
All right,
is.
Here's what just popped up.
Okay.
Spiritualism. A system of belief or religious practice based on the supposed communication with the spirits of the dead, especially through mediums.
Okay. So I don't know if that's word for word from last week, but that's
from the Oxford Language Dictionary.
Okay. So, you know, think about this. We had talked about last week spirits of the dead and what exactly we've been through that. If you didn't get that, we're going to archive all of our programs. Will be archived on our website, prophecyhope.com. You'll be able to go back and listen to that. But we looked at ample texts last week that show what happens when we die. We're going to look at more this week. So we sign off using, go ahead, you were going to say
no,
something.
No, go ahead.
First Thessalonians chapter 4.
Yes.
Where would you like to begin?
Let's read verses 13 through 18.
Okay. And can you read that, Ed?
Sure. This is from the Modern King James, starting with verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And this word asleep is talking about death.
Yes, it is.
Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Okay.
In other words, those people that you know that have just lost a loved one to death, comfort them with these words. Let them know this is what the future holds.
Absolutely. And so when we look at this text, the verse 14 sometimes deserves some clarity. Mm-hmm. Do you have a thought on verse 14?
You're talking about, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, mm-hmm. even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Yes.
So what he's saying is when Jesus returns to heaven, he's going to bring not only those that are alive, but those that have been asleep that he raised out of the ground from the dead.
And at his coming.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think that means that he's bringing them back with him
right.
from the heavens.
That's not what it's saying.
Yeah. We looked at Lazarus last week in mm-hmm. John, I think it's chapter 11, if
yes.
I remember correctly. And when we looked at that text, we saw that You mentioned, Ed, you said Lazarus didn't say, hey, I was hanging out with my buddies in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, I was enjoying myself.
Right.
There was nothing said.
Right.
He was silent. So when we look at this text, this is the text that we use to sign off. If we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.
That is our hope in this life.
Amen.
The hope's not built on the things of this world, nor the men and wisdom of this world. It's built on Christ coming again to put the end to sin and death.
Absolutely.
And violence and sorrow and crying.
Yes. So when Christ comes back, when he appears in the clouds and every eye shall see him.
Yeah.
In fact, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 15. It
okay.
kind of goes along with this because I think this is important to understand. The same writer, the Apostle Paul, that wrote to the Thessalonians, also wrote to the church in Corinth. And let's see, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and beginning in verse 50. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. So in other words, if I'm living in a sinful nature, in a sinful life, I mm-hmm. can't inherit God's kingdom.
Right.
He talks about that a number of times,
right.
doesn't he? And we've talked about that here.
Yes.
Verse 51 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. You just read about
yes.
that trumpet, Ed. It says, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, that's the living, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? And then in verse 56 it says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who... I'm sorry, I had to turn the page there. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
So it's after the last trumpet that the dead shall be raised incorruptible.
Absolutely.
And we shall be changed, those that are alive, at Christ's coming. And, you know, let me read a text from Job,
sure.
chapter 14. And I'm going to be reading verses 10 through 12. And I don't have written down what version this is, but it says, man dies and is cut off, and man expires, and where is he? As the waters go away from the sea, and a river wastes away and dries up, even so man lies down and does not rise until the heavens are no more. They shall not awake, nor be roused out of their sleep. He's saying that's not going to happen until Christ comes again, till the heavens are no more.
That's right. Now, verse 21. Do you have verse 21 there?
I don't.
Okay. So, Job 14, and let me just turn there real quick, see if I can find that. And let's see, Job 14, 21. Here we go. I found the book of Job. And I hope you all have your Bibles open. I hope you look these things up and don't just take our word for it. We want you to see these things in context. Verse 21 says, his sons come to honor, and he does not know it. They are brought low, and he does not perceive it. So this is talking about those who have died.
You know, I don't know what other countries do, but here in the United States, when you see a cemetery, oftentimes family members or sometimes friends will keep the area around the grave tidy. They'll bring flowers. They'll come visit the grave.
Right.
You know, and here it says in Job 14:21, his sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not. They are brought low, you know, in weeping and grief.
Right.
But he perceives it not of them.
Right.
When someone dies, they have no perception of what's going on. They're asleep.
It's very true. And that's the thing. If they were in heaven, they would know what was going on, wouldn't they? They would see the things that are happening.
Would heaven be heaven if you are watching what's happening on this earth to your loved ones?
No, it wouldn't. It would be a sad turn of events, especially if you saw your loved ones living a debauched life.
Right.
You know? A fellow that we have been in ministry with, he has since died. But in his family, you know, he believed that the dead are really dead, like we do.
Right.
But some of his family believed that they have ascended to heaven. So he had a bench put right there at the graveside that said, "Resting here till Jesus comes."
Amen.
And that's really what happens.
Yes.
We're asleep in Jesus. So the next question that some people ask, and I get this a lot, people will ask me, well, doesn't the soul continue to live when I die? Have you ever heard that, Ed?
Yeah, it's, you know, the best place to go is at the beginning, Genesis chapter 2.
Genesis chapter 2?
Genesis 2:7. So what is a soul? Let's just define what a soul is according to the Word of God,
sure.
Not according to a church or a preacher or a book you read. Genesis 2:7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So a soul consists of two things, the dust of the ground and the breath breathed into his nostrils, the breath of life.
Right. So it's the body and the breath.
Yes.
Without those two, the soul ceases to exist.
Yeah.
So, and that's why Ezekiel 18:4 tells us that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what it says. And you know, there's a lot of misconception. People will say, well, I'm sure that the Bible talks about the immortal soul. But believe it or not, nowhere in the Bible does it mention an immortal soul.
Right.
And we just read here, the only time the word immortality is used is right here in 1 Corinthians. And it has to do with when Christ returns and not before then. Isn't that interesting how that takes place? And most of us as Christians, we miss those things. And the other thing, last week, and I don't think we sounded this down. Did you have a thought, Ed?
I'm actually looking for a text in my notes.
Okay, so last week you had mentioned a couple of times, and you mentioned it again this evening, that when Jesus referred to death as sleep.
Yes.
And the Bible does. So I'm just going to mention some of these texts, and you all can, the listener, you can write these down. Some texts where the Bible speaks of death as sleep. In the Old Testament, one is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 21. Another Old Testament text is Jeremiah 51:51. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And then in the New Testament, we read this last week, John chapter 11, verses 11 and 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. We just read one here this evening. Actually, these next three we read this evening. Two of them anyway. 1 Corinthians 15:51, 1 Thessalonians 4:14, and then also in 1 Thessalonians 5:10. These are some of the texts. I have these in some of my study notes that use the word sleep when it's speaking of death. And the reason why is because Jesus is coming to waken us from that sleep. And now keep in mind that some will be raised up to eternal life and some will be raised up to eternal damnation.
Yes.
That's what we're told in John chapter 5.
And that second death that we tend to call it after the 1,000 years when the unrighteous will be destroyed forever is real death.
Absolutely.
That's why Jesus calls death on this earth a sleep.
Absolutely. And two, you know, this is going to lead us to another topic because so many people think that when you die that second death, that you actually continue to live.
Yeah.
But again, the dead know nothing. So that actually alters what we have to think about these other things.
Let me share a text. Are you familiar with the story or the account of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, king of Israel?
King Hezekiah. Take us back there because I'm not sure if we talked about that last week.
We may have a little bit. King Hezekiah was sick, and Isaiah came to him, God told him to go to Hezekiah, said, prepare to die, because this is a sickness unto death. Well, and God healed him. What happened? He gave him a miraculous sign of the sundial going backwards.
Uh-huh.
And in Isaiah 38, 18, this is what Hezekiah says. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth.
Mm.
So when you die, you don't praise God. You're not able to.
That's
it's
right.
The living that can praise God.
That's it. And we read that in Psalms last week.
Yeah.
We looked at that. So, yeah, thanks for that account. Another question that comes up a lot during this study that we're talking about is, what about the thief on the cross?
Uh-huh.
Because when we go to Luke chapter 23, it's an interesting text because there Jesus is. He's on the cross, and there's a thief next to him. And the thief asks him a question. The thief wanted him to remember him. He says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, I pause there because there's a comma.
Yes.
He says, surely, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
So the Bible that we have today is based on some manuscripts that were written years ago, hundreds of years ago.
Right.
And my understanding is those manuscripts didn't have any punctuation.
That's correct. And they didn't have punctuation. So a lot of the punctuation that we have today has been added to the best of the understanding of
right.
the person that was translating. But when I take all of the evidence so far, and we haven't looked, you know, if you do an exhaustive study on this, mm-hmm. it would take a number of programs. But when we do a study and we found what happens when we die, how could that thief be with Jesus in paradise?
Well, it depends where you put that comma.
It does, doesn't it? Because if you have it there, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise, then that tells me that Jesus didn't really die.
Right.
But we know that Jesus really died.
Yes.
And we know that the death know nothing. So what's being said here is Jesus is saying to, assuredly I say to you today.
Yeah, I'm telling you today.
Yeah, I'm telling you this day, you will be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
And he didn't mean that very day.
Right.
Because Jesus, he was put in the tomb.
He was resting on the Sabbath day in the tomb.
Absolutely. He was put to death on a Friday afternoon. He was resurrected on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And you know, that's another beautiful to me, Ed, that is such a beautiful thing because when we look at the, you know, we've studied this in the past, even right here on this program, how the preparation day is Friday.
Right.
And we keep the biblical Sabbath
right.
based on what the Bible teaches. And so
and we have a preparation day, which is
absolutely,
Friday.
Absolutely.
Where we prepare for the Sabbath so we don't have to do a lot of work on the Sabbath.
Yeah, all of my work is done before yeah. Sabbath begins. In fact, even if I'm going to have a prepared dish, I try to prepare that meal
right.
the day before on,
right.
on Friday. And so, you know, this is beautiful because when we look at the creation account where God rested on the seventh day, after creating the world in 6 days,
right.
he rested on the seventh. And then we see that reiterated in the commandments. We can see that the Sabbath is certainly a creation ordinance,
mm-hmm.
right? It took place at creation.
Right.
But we also see that here when Jesus died, he died on the preparation. He was in the tomb the whole 24-hour Sabbath day. He was resurrected by the Father Sunday morning. So not only is the Sabbath a creation ordinance, it's also an ordinance of redemption.
Yes.
And so just as God rested on the seventh day from his work of creating the world, Jesus rested on the seventh day from his work of saving the world.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful to me. You know, years ago when I put that together, this convinced me more than anything about the Sabbath, because I haven't been a Sabbath-keeping Christian all of my life. You know, I never did until
right.
about 25 years ago.
Hmm.
And so understanding what happens when we die really helped me to recognize, wow, the Sabbath is more than just a creation ordinance.
Right.
It's an ordinance of redemption because Jesus had to die. He could not be alive during that time.
There's so many things implied by understanding and respecting the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day of the week.
Yes.
Saturday, what we call Saturday. You recognize God as the creator of the heavens and earth. Mm. You recognize him as your rightful authority in your life.
Amen.
Because he created us. He created us to live a certain healthy and good way mm-hmm. that makes our life enjoyable. But most of the world ignores God's commandments.
They do.
His way of life that he wants for us.
Absolutely.
For our benefit.
And we see things moving further and further yeah. from the commandments of God.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, when we look at these things, we've said this before, and I will continue to say this because it's so true. If our foundational truths are off in the beginning of the Scripture in Genesis, it's going to be off throughout the Bible. So going back to this topic of what happens when we die, you talked about it there in Genesis 2:7, that God breathed the breath of life into Adam.
Yeah.
And then Satan comes along later and says, no, if you eat the fruit, you will not surely die.
Yes, that's a lie he's still saying today.
He's still saying it today. And the vast majority of people, unfortunately, have believed it. They've accepted that as truth. So the other thing I think that we need to, is there something that you wanted to...
Keep going. I found the text that I wanted to share.
Okay. I was just going to say, before we end the program, I would like to just look at a couple of resurrections. We looked at one last week, which was Lazarus. So we'll get back to
that. Can I share my favorite one?
Yes, please.
Which was a total shock and surprise to me when I read it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
2 Kings.
Okay.
Chapter 13.
Yeah, let's look at that. Let me get open.
And it's just two verses.
Okay.
It's just very simple. Verses 20 and 21 of 2 Kings chapter 13.
Okay.
It says, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And as it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that, behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet.
Wow.
What a story. These men had a friend that died.
Right.
They were going to bury him. They saw a band of these Moabites. You know, they don't want to be seen by them because they would try to
sure,
kill them.
Absolutely.
And so they went to the first place they could find, what happened to be the sepulcher of Elisha.
Yeah, or grave.
And they right. put his body down onto the bones of Elisha. This man came to life.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So this was something that God no
yes.
doubt did.
Yes.
Right? Because life comes from the Father.
Right.
So, you know, talking about these resurrections, that was a bodily resurrection.
Yes.
It wasn't something where the body was here and part of him was somewhere else
right.
living.
Yeah.
These are the questions you have to keep asking yourself, friends, and because these doctrines that we've been taught are deeply rooted in
yes.
our minds and in our hearts. But if we want to accept what the Bible says, we have to come to a conclusion.
Again, I want to go to the conversation we had just before we went on the air. It's frustrating when people are so convinced this is the right thing.
Yeah.
This is what I believe. This is right. If you don't believe what I believe, you're not going to be saved. And then we ask them, can you share with me where you find the Bible? They can't.
No, they can't.
Because it's not based on God's Word.
Right.
It's based on an author, on a preacher, on a church.
Yeah.
Versus
so
what
true.
God's Word says.
It's so true. So and they're deeply ingrained.
Yes.
These things are deep. In our minds. And sometimes, you know, we'll regress or digress. We'll go back to that. So the resurrection that you just showed us is in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
And there's another one that's in 1 Kings chapter 17 with actually Elijah took a child and brought him down out
yeah.
of the room into the house. Remember that?
Right.
And came to the mother and Elijah said, see, your son lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, how would she know that he lives unless she saw him?
Mm-hmm.
why is it that we'll see a body in a casket or a cremated body in an urn, and we just will say, well, they're alive in heaven? That is contrary to everything the Bible tells us.
Even little children know that.
Even little children. I gave that example last week.
Right.
It's, you know, it's so simple to the child. And I think this is why Jesus said we need to be as children.
Mm-hmm.
If just, look, I see, my eyes are telling me that body is there. I can see it. There's no life in it.
Right.
There's no life in it. It's going to return to the dust. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Your thoughts perish at death. So there's a number of accounts, like Luke chapter 7. Verse 13. Let's go to Luke chapter 7,
right.
I think. And if we're repeating some of these, I don't think we've repeated any of these from last week. Sometimes we don't always take notes, and we never plan. I don't think we've ever planned a program.
No.
We just come in here and say, okay, let's get started. Thank God he's given us the ability to be able to do these things.
So are you talking about verse 11?
Yes. Would you read that?
Sure. I'm going to read verses 11 through 15.
Good.
And it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had a compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother.
Okay, so this was a bodily resurrection,
yes,
right? And there's no statement here about, I was in the heavens. I was with God and the angels. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. How about Matthew chapter 9?
Matthew 9.
So, you know, I love these because they're right here in the Gospels. And a lot of times, most Christians, if they find it in the Gospel accounts, they're not going to disagree with it.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 9, and let's see. Probably should start in verse 18.
Yeah.
Do you want to read 18 through 26? Do you mind reading?
Yeah. Again, this is the Modern King James, Matthew 9:18. Well, he spake these things unto them. Behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. And he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. There's that word sleep again.
Yes, it is.
And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. Now, I was mistaken. That's the King James I was reading.
Yeah, when you said spake, I figured that was the King James right at the very beginning. And I thought, wow, I don't remember the Modern King James using the word
That was the King James. I had a different tab.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with the good old authorized King James. So, you know, when we look at this account, Jesus, there are so many things that he did. You know, like this woman with the flow of blood, you know, and that's interesting to me.
Well, it's interesting. Some of the other Gospels add a little bit more information. Like Jesus was going through the crowd, and he goes, who touched me?
Right.
And his disciples are going, are you okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a crowd of people. People are pressing against you on every side, and you ask,
they're
who touched you?
Yeah, exactly.
And then Jesus says, I felt some power leave me.
Yeah, he did. So, you know, you think about that it took physical energy from him.
Yeah.
You know, so You wonder why was he trying to catch a nap here or there? Well, yeah. He was healing people all of the time by the power that God gave him to do these things.
Right.
So here again in this chapter of Matthew chapter 9, we see a bodily resurrection.
Yes.
A bodily resurrection. Jesus never says, oh, don't worry, your daughter's comforted with my Father in the heavens. He never says this. He resurrects
them. Not at all.
Them.
Nowhere in the Bible does it say that.
And last week we read John chapter 11. Let's take a look at one in chapter 20 of Acts, because this is not. This is after Jesus had ascended to heaven. Acts chapter 20, and I think probably should start in verse 7.
Yeah.
7 through 12. Do you want to read it or you want me to read it?
Sure, I'll read this. Now, this time it is the modern King James.
Okay.
All right, Acts 27. And on the first of the Sabbaths, the disciple, having been assembled to break bread, being about to depart on the mower, Paul reasoned to them. He preached to them, and he continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper room where they were assembled, and a certain young man named Eutychus was sitting on the windowsill, Paul reasoning for a longer time, being overborne by sleep. Of course, no one's ever fallen asleep in any of your sermons, Mark.
Oh, no, of course not.
And he fell down from the third floor and was taken up dead. There on the third floor of the building, he fell out of the window and was killed when he hit the ground. Verse 10. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, do not be terrified, for his soul is in him. And going up, his soul is in him, his breath is in him.
Yeah, mine says his life is in him.
Yeah. And Paul went up, verse 11, and going up, breaking bread and tasting it, and conversing over a long time until daybreak, he went out thus. And they brought the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted.
So, interesting text.
Yes.
You know, and we see that God gave power to these disciples to be able to do these
apostles.
Things. Apostles.
Yeah. I don't know if Paul was ever considered a disciple, but he was an apostle.
He was an apostle, yeah.
We're all disciples.
We're all disciples.
Yeah.
So a disciple can be a disciple, but an apostle is both a disciple and an apostle, right? A disciple is not necessarily an apostle.
When we think of disciples, we think of the 12. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And of course, there was a different 12 after Christ's death because Judas was no longer part of them.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are just some of the resurrections that we see in the Bible.
Yeah.
And all of them have one thing in common, and that is that they are bodily resurrections.
They were dead. They were asleep. There was no life in them, no breath in them. They weren't talking. They weren't hearing what was going on around them. They were dead.
Yes.
And when they were raised from the dead, their bodies came alive. They began to speak, to hear, to talk.
Amen.
Communicate.
And so now there's one resurrection that every Christian should be familiar with, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
So let's look at his resurrection. Let's just take a look.
All right.
And you might say, well, that's silly. We know Jesus lives. But notice some of these things. Remember we talked about, go ahead, Ed.
You just said, that's silly. We know Jesus lives.
Yes.
But you know that he died?
See, that's where there's some discrepancy, isn't there? Because if we believe that when we die, we go to heaven or hell, and the Bible tells me that when I die, I know nothing.
Yeah. Then death is asleep.
Right. And if it's not, if I'm, you know, when I'm asleep, I don't know what's going on around me, right? So if I'm dead, I don't know what's going on around me or anywhere else. And so here, when we look at this, the reason this is so important is because if we believe that we go to heaven or hell, then that means that Jesus didn't really die.
Right.
And if Jesus didn't really die, then we're doomed.
Right. You know, Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 15. He's talking to the Sadducees who don't believe in the resurrection.
And that's sad, you see.
Yeah. And he's telling them, well, if you don't believe in the resurrection, then we have no hope.
Right.
Because Jesus was raised from the dead.
He was raised.
That means he actually died.
He had to die.
Yeah.
And there are people who argue, well, not all of him died. Yes, he died.
Yes. The wages of sin is death.
And he had to pay for sin. He had to pay the price.
Yes, he paid my price.
Amen.
For my son.
For every
my
human
death.
Being. And that's the thing. In other words, Ed, what you're saying is every person can personalize that.
Yes.
Because he died for every person.
Yes.
So you, the listener, can say, Jesus died, you can say, for me.
Yes, he did.
Right? And he did die for every person.
So where? What?
Matthew 28.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 28. And I think, let's just start in verse 1 and read through verse 8. Do you have that?
Verse 1?
Yes.
Okay, but late in the week, at the dawning into the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, a great earthquake occurred. Mm-hmm. For coming down from heaven and coming up, the angel of the Lord rolled back the stone from the door and was sitting on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And the keepers shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Do not fear, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, and lo, I have told you.
So it's interesting to me, this angel doesn't say that he has ascended from the abyss or that he has come down from the heavens.
Right.
He was resurrected is what this is telling us. He raised from the dead. Tell the disciples he is risen from the dead.
Yes.
He was completely dead. Now there's another text. Let's look at Mark chapter 16, same account. Mark chapter 16. We might as well just look at all of these since we're right here in the Gospels anyway. We'll look at them in order. Mark 16, 1 through 8. Ed, would you mind reading that, please?
Sure. Mark 16, 1 through 8. Again, modern King James. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices so they might come and anoint him. You remember, they didn't have time on Friday to do
that. That's right.
They had bought the spices, 100 pounds, but they didn't have time to do it because the Sabbath day was approaching at Friday evening.
That's correct.
And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came upon the tomb, the sun having risen. And they said among themselves, Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very great. Mm. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he said to them, Do not be frightened. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, but he is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you. And they went out quickly and fled the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither did they say anything to anyone, for they were afraid.
You know, so here again, Mark is recording the same account that Matthew had recorded. So we see this also in Luke, and Luke gives us a little more detail. And one of the details that you mentioned there, Ed, and that's in Luke chapter 24. And, you know, I use this text a lot. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to begin, in fact, right before that, in chapter 23, it says, beginning in verse 54. Oh, let's begin in verse 52, if you don't mind. It says, This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock where no one had ever lain before. That was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near.
Right.
So we've talked about this even in this program, right, here this evening. And it says, And the women, in verse 55, the women who had come with him from Galilee, followed after. They observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. This is the text that you were quoting. And then in chapter 24, it's just a continuation of the same account. It says, And on the first day of the week, and what day do we know that as?
That's Resurrection Day or Sunday.
Sunday. So there's no discrepancy as to what day the seventh day is. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women went with them, came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth. They said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? I love the way that's worded.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be corrupted, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all of these things to the 11 and all the rest. So again, we read this account. I love this. Let me read a couple more verses.
Right.
It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them.
All right.
I wanted to read that because most people today do not believe these words that we read. They don't believe that Jesus literally died, but they believe that they use obscure, texts that don't have anything to do with this.
Right.
And they'll say, well, this was Jesus preaching to these people. It doesn't say when he was dead or when they were dead.
Right.
It was before they died.
Right. You know, let's go to Luke 23 again.
Okay. Sure.
And I just want to read verses 44 through 46.
Okay, yeah, good.
And it says, it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Mm.
And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He died. He stopped breathing.
Yeah. Mine says he breathed his last.
Yes.
So, gave up the ghost. You know, we use that expression when a car blows, when an engine blows up. It gave up the ghost.
Yeah.
It's dead.
Yeah, it's dead. It's not saying that Christ is now in heaven. It doesn't say that.
Right.
Remember, the word spirit is pneuma,
right.
Breath, wind.
And that's why it says here, he breathed his last.
Yeah.
So, this is really important that we understand these things, because if we continue to believe that my relative is in heaven, mm-hmm. I know that might be comforting to some people. Some people might think, well, I like thinking that.
They're in a better place. You hear that all the time.
Well, you know, if I'm resting in Christ Jesus,
yeah.
I'm in a better place.
Amen.
Right? And it doesn't mean that death is better than life,
right.
But I'm promised a resurrection. And my next conscious thought, if I'm dead in Christ, will be with him.
Yes.
And that's when he returns. If we don't meet you on the air, we'll meet you in the air.
I was just going to say that. Yes, that's our hope on this earth.
It really
because
is.
Because even if life continues on for another 100,000 years or whatever, sin is going to be put to an end.
Yes.
And that is where our hope lies. So there's no more death or sorrow or crying.
Weeks, maybe even months ago, Ed, we talked a lot about in Romans, and we looked at how sin must end.
Yes.
And it begins by us living in Christ now.
Yes.
And we put an end, he can put an end to sin in our lives today.
Yes.
And so, but
That's part of the gospel, just as much as it is death on the cross.
Amen. It really is. And I think this is where we forget. You know, we have to remember, Jesus lived, he died completely.
Yes.
And he was resurrected.
Yes.
And he right now, he lives in the heavenly courts, right?
And wants to live within our hearts.
Absolutely. So, and we wanted to talk more about this because, again, this time of year, there's so much deception. And we looked at the text last week about in Deuteronomy and Leviticus where it talks about trying to communicate with the dead,
yes.
That this is something we shouldn't do. This also can run into another topic. I just got a phone call, or actually a text from someone days ago asking me about Moses.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, Jude 9 says that there was a dispute over the body of Moses.
Right.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Mm-hmm. I think that's in Jude verse 9.
Okay.
And Jude only has one chapter, so that's why I said Jude verse 9. It says here, I'm just going to read this. It says, "Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring a reviling accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" So, you know, keep in mind that when we read this, where is Moses? What are we to believe? Because we said when we die, we're really dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, this indicates that Michael, the archangel, evidently came to resurrect Moses.
Yes.
And the devil says, "Oh, no,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to do that." And he says, "Hey, don't take that up with me.
Yeah,
take that up with the Lord."
Right. You know, and actually the death of Moses is talked about in Deuteronomy 34.
Okay. Can you take us there for a moment?
Remember, Moses had struck the rock the second time they got water out of the rock versus speaking to it. And he had disobeyed God. And so he now experienced the penalty of disobedience because he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land.
Right.
But God did take him up onto Mount Nebo,
mm-hmm.
To the top of Pisgah, and looked over the promised land and showed him the promised land. And then in verse 4 it says, "This is the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, over against Beth-Por. But no man knoweth of his sculpture unto this day. Moses was 120 years old. When he died, his eyes were not dim, nor his natural forces abated. He died because of his disobedience, not because of old age."
Right. And so think about this, and I don't know if many of you are familiar with this. Most of you probably will be if you're Bible students, and that is the transfiguration of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And at this time, Jesus actually took James and John and Peter up to this mountain, and while they were there, they heard the voice of God. He actually speaks to them. Can you find that text?
Yeah, let's go to Mark 9.
Okay.
It's in a couple of different
It is. It's in Matthew
Gospels,
also.
But I go to Mark 9 because I can remember it.
Okay. All right. Where are you going to read?
Starting with verse 1.
Sure.
And this is an important verse that people misunderstand because they don't read it in the context. And this is Jesus speaking. "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there shall some of them that stand here which shall not taste death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power."
This is a very important verse.
Yes.
Right? So he's speaking to his disciples.
Right.
And among these disciples, Peter, James, and John are there. And he says,
yes,
you will not die until you see the kingdom. Right?
And what is he talking about? He's talking about what happens in the next few verses.
Yes.
"And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared before them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, when they looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they shouldn't tell no man what they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead."
Okay, this is interesting because remember what we read in the Old Testament, that we're not supposed to communicate or
right.
try to communicate with the dead.
Yes.
So it's obvious that Moses in Jude 9 must have been resurrected from the dead right. at the time that this happened anyway.
And we know Elijah is right. what it's referring to, mm-hmm. was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot.
Yes. So, and I've been asked this question. In fact, I'll just say it. My dad and I got into a discussion about this very topic.
Right.
Because I was raised believing something very different about
right.
this text. And so once I had studied through this and realized that Moses was actually resurrected,
right.
bodily resurrection, mm-hmm. right? Because they saw him. In fact, right. they saw Jesus talking with them.
Right.
And if Jesus would have been talking with a dead person or even pretending or imagining to do that, he would have been breaking God's law.
So how did they see the kingdom of God here? They saw Elijah representing those that would be alive on the earth when Jesus comes, and they saw Moses representing those who would be raised from the dead when Christ
Absolutely.
Comes.
Absolutely. So that, and that's exactly what it is. That's the point that really struck my dad. He had never thought about that. And until I'd studied this and understood truly what happens when we die,
yeah.
and what Jude says, see how the Bible from start to finish, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's consistent. And it's amazing to me, Ed. And I wanted to go here because so many people from all kinds of different backgrounds listen to this program.
Right.
And I wanted to touch on this in case there were any from my background
right.
that said, well, what about this text?
Right.
Because I was raised to believe that the dead are really dead, but I was also raised to believe something else about that.
You know, here's what I would encourage everybody who has a question about a particular verse in the Bible. Read it in context.
Yes.
Compare the whole of the Bible on the subject you're looking at to see what it says. So often, churches, groups, ministers pick out verses here and there, and just to make it say what they believe it says mm-hmm. or want it to say or prove what their church teaches is right, but they don't read it in the context that is written. And they'll never understand the truth of God's Word unless you take the Bible as a whole, read it in the context as it's written. And that could be reading chapters before and after.
Amen. So we are out of time already. This hour just goes so fast. So let's have a word of prayer, shall
right.
we? Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to be here, and we're thankful for your word and the clarity. Father, we just pray that people will take heed these words that when we die and that we're truly dead, that we're sleeping in Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and just help us to recognize these things so that we're not deceived, particularly in this time that we're living in these last days. Father, be with each one of us. We're grateful for your word. We're thankful for your son, Jesus Christ, and we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, we read the text, 1 Thessalonians 4. So what do we have to say to these folks until next week?
If we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air when Christ comes again.
Amen.